Welcome back, everyone, to the Midlife Hour, your go-to breakdown and discussion hub for Severance Season 2. I'm DP. That's my good boy, Bob.
What it do? What it dookie?
Today, we're diving into Episode 7, an absolute game changer in this mind-bending series. If you thought the last episode left you with questions, Episode 7 just cranked up that intensity even more. We're breaking down every twist, analyzing key moments, and making some bold predictions for where we are headed next. So grab your Lumen-issued snacks, and let's get into it. Babito. First impressions, what'd you think?
Just before we even dive into the episode, fucking heartbreaking. That's my impression. So I can't do that. It'll fucking ruin it. So, all right. It jumps off into Gemma and what we see of Gemma. And she was never in an accident at all. This looks like a voluntary thing. She might have just went there thinking she was going to work and then they just fucking kept her there. And it's interesting to know how many levels you can be potentially severed. I thought it could have been one, maybe two. What did they have for up to six?
There's a bunch. What I think is interesting is I think somewhere along the lines in one of the reviews we did earlier in the season, I mentioned that I thought there would be an entire episode that followed what happened to Gemma throughout this time. And we got that. I think this tonally, the episode took a huge shift. We lost even more of the humor, maybe lost some of the mainline mystery, but just completely focused on Gemma. And it was almost like it was a different show, like from the way that it was shot to the flashbacks.
Oh, like a movie, right?
Like, are we watching This Is Us or are we watching Severance, you know?
It felt like a movie. It felt great. Well, there was only one funny scene.
The cinematography to tell that, like, for the parts that were in the present, they used digital cameras. And for the part in the past, they were using film cameras. You could tell from the quality on screen.
And the white spots in the film. Like, it was very...
Artifacts.
Oh, yeah. Old school. But there was one funny part, and I agree, there was no other funny parts. But when he has her being terrified on the plane, the creepy Team America, looking fuck, he's jumped up into the top of the building, the airplane from the turbulence. And he's like, this is normal. What do you want for dinner? Like, that's the only scene that was maybe comical. The rest was fucking tragic.
Well, can't you just talk fucking normal?
My ghetto comes out, you know this, but... It was just tragic the way she...
No, I was doing a callback to the episode.
Oh.
When he's talking to her and he's talking all weird about siring a new beginning. And she's like, can't you just talk fucking normal?
It gave me geisha vibes. Like the way he had her dressed up for Christmas and the way he had her writing left-handed. Because it showed her Audi writing right-handed. It definitely showed that on purpose. And then it emphasized her writing left-handed and looking like a toddler writing over and over again for this guy. What was it? For a grouter? Nothing says Christmas like grouting.
It was a degrouter. Honey, by the way, it's degrouter.
I fucking hate him. I fucking hate him. I genuinely hate him. I don't think I've ever hated a character. What's his name? That guy.
Doctor something. Doctor... The cast list. Dr. Maurer.
He's the worst. He's like a Negan character, but you don't even want to support him. Like, I don't know how to... The audacity of this man to say I love you to her when she's leaving the room and then try and check her to say it back. And you could feel the animosity and the just the... I don't know how to put it in her voice when she's like, I love you too. Oh, man. Oh, man. Anyway.
So... A lot of things have been revealed. So we know what's at the end of the dark hallway. It's this big, wide open room with a bunch of different doors. It looks as if there's more than just Gemma being held there as far as a test subject, because there's another room just across from hers. But there's doorways to a bunch of different worlds with a bunch of different weird names that correspond to the work that our crew has been doing over the course of the last two seasons, including a door labeled Cold Harbor.
The final door. But can we talk about some of the other doors that she had to go into just to keep on that topic? Like, what was one? Loveland?
Loveland?
Wellington?
Loveland, Colorado?
Is that what it was referencing?
All those different names correspond to different places.
I read something that it was maybe corresponding to like old battles and maybe like old generals or some shit, whether, you know, theories are hit and miss. But Wellington, that was the deadest one. Dude, so I'm not trying to be weird when I ask this question, but... Do you think that guy's doing weird things to her in those rooms?
Oh, probably.
Along with the dental procedures? Because, come on, man.
I mean, he obviously has some kind of affection or feelings for her. as did the big dude that we've seen throughout season two, called him out. You know, I think you're developing feelings for her, blah, blah, blah. You know, she has to leave soon and all those different things. But it's definitely a weird, creepy dynamic. I'm curious as to, in the realm of Lumen Industries and their technology, what purpose these different tests serve based on their science, you know, like whether they're putting her through a series of traumatic incidents to see how well the severance chip works in like suppressing those feelings.
Personality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to see them bring Jim Carrey in to this series and have him be the severed guy that he was in Eternal Sunshine. It's mine.
It's funny that you mentioned that because as I was watching this episode, I was like, is this entire series just an expansion off of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
It feels like it. It feels like it so much, doesn't it? Like this is like them, like, because if you go back to Eternal Sunshine in that scene where Jim Carrey's laying on the bed, what's he doing when he's deleting those memories? MDR shit. He's full masturbating, but he's also MDR refining. He's clicking shit off the keyboard and he's like, gonna get you. And now that we know that, this episode literally said that's what they're doing. It's hard not to think with Ben Stiller's ties in his life with Jim Carrey that there isn't some kind of association with this crap, dude. I'm telling you.
I think that well could be part of the reveal.
I would love it. I don't think a lot of people would. I think you and I might really love that.
Well, that'd that was awesome. One of my favorite movies, you know.
Same.
As a young adult.
Shit. It was great. And it would show Jim Carrey could act outside of comedy, really.
So back to what's going on in these different rooms. You got the one room where, you know, she's going to the dentist, another room where she's writing the thank you notes for the Christmas present, another room in the airplane. They all seem to be set back in time, like in the 60s or 70s. None of them seem to be present time, just given the way that she's dressed. Do you think that serves some significance?
I think it serves significance into his like fetish role play that he clearly has her dressed up in.
I think it has something to do with trying to reincarnate a Cure or some cure, whatever.
It's given Get Out vibes with this whole episode too, just taking over people's bodies.
Well, it definitely seems like she did this voluntarily, and I imagine the crux of that is going to be the loss of the baby, right? Because you saw that breakdown in her and Mark's relationship back when, you know, they're still employed by the college. Is like once she lost the baby, things kind of changed. She became harsh with his words, you know, we'll get better, and just all those different things. So I think that trauma, which is as the root of a lot of stories these days, is what motivated her to participate in whatever experiment Lumen has going on with the chip and severance in and of itself.
But it also goes back to other podcasts that we talked about. It's really not worth it. You got to experience emotions for yourself and just for yourself, because how do you grow as a person if you sever all the bad? The bad is what helps you grow, even in your career. Like, you're going to fail in your career more than you're going to succeed, right? But you got to keep pushing if you want to advance. And that's just one aspect. So, I mean, I get it. She didn't want to hurt. But at the same time, I don't think she chose to be there for however long she's been there. I think she chose to do the procedure and to do the job as probably Miss Casey, more than likely. And then as she was Miss Casey, they did some weird shit and severed her personalities into 5, 6, maybe even 10. Who knows? Because there was more than 6 rooms there. We just didn't see all the names on them.
I think the biggest remaining question is if the body, the person that Mark knew as Gemma actually died, and this is a clone, or if the person that is Gemma voluntarily entered this program and is stuck in there, or was she brain dead and they're trying to reanimate her memories? Or I mean, there's still a lot left to the unknown, because Mark, in one of the previous episodes this season, talked about when he got into an argument with his sister that he had seen the body, that he had to ID the body when she died.
But going into that, we saw that the MDR refiners, Dylan, Helly, Adam, and Irving, had all replicas at a lower level that kind of looked like them, that looked like the guys that were pointing them were to go in Woo's Hollow. So we now know that I don't think it's clones, but what could it be if they look like them, right? Because you saw a Dylan. That's where Mr. Drummond was standing.
I think that part is just the fetish of the cult, right? Is they want them to dress like them and closely resemble them. I think that part is just human influence, versus the biggest question I'm asking is, are we looking at a clone of Gemma that they're reprogramming, or the dead body of Gemma that they're reprogramming, or is it actually Gemma as she was known?
I could be wrong. I think it was Gemma being a willing participant, And I think it was a lookalike. He said it was, she was burned. So I think they burned a body, and they said it was Gemma while she's at Lumen getting tests done and getting taken advantage of by this predatory doctor.
It was super heartbreaking once she, like, you know, hit the dentist over the head and started running down the black hog, went up the elevator. She's confronted with Milchick, and she's, because she has the severed chip, she's Miss Casey at that point. She doesn't remember that she's running. She doesn't remember that she's been trapped. She's been forced into the servitude. And she just sees Milchick, and Milchick's like, Miss Casey, like, you got on the wrong elevator, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, nope, turn around. Thank you.
Fuck you, Mr. Milchick.
How dismissive she was, and just how defeated she appeared in the elevator once she snapped back into herself. Like, that part was pretty gut-wrenching.
Whatever love that I had for Mr. Milchick is gone after I saw him rush his black ass down to the elevator and stop Miss Casey from freedom. Part of me wants to believe he doesn't know exactly what's going on up there, but he would have to, right? But then,
not really.
Maybe not. Yeah,
Lumen,
right,
is a hierarchy.
You're right. And he's only the manager of the severed floor. He's not the...
And he just became the manager of the severed floor.
Absolutely right. So he could have just been told that there was a potential escape or whatever, and he was just doing his job or his due diligence. So still, fuck you, Mr. Milchick. I don't like him after that. That shit broke my heart. Because she's aware of Mark. She still knows who Mark is.
How do you think Harmony Cobell serves the story in these last couple episodes? How do you think she comes back?
She comes back with Devin, Mark's sister, and she's going to help her. Ragabi's out. She told her what the circumstances was going to be if she called Cobell. And I think she called Cobell on the phone while she was talking, and she hung up at the end. We didn't get to see it, but I think that's what happened. So Cobell got to listen to a little bit of it, and I think that's what's going to make Cobell come back.
Do you think Cobell and Ragabi have some kind of weird relationship themselves?
Prior to Ragabi leaving, absolutely. They would have to know each other. I mean, they work together. So how far it goes, I'm sure we'll see in the upcoming episodes. I have no idea where this thing's going to go anymore. After this tragedy of an episode, beautiful tragedy, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think anymore.
It is a little interesting that, you know, we've been saying for the past couple of weeks, maybe Helena's intentions are to become pregnant, or, you know, to produce a successor for the Egans. And that Gemma kind of went on this spiral. This whole path towards Lumen started with her miscarrying and then visiting that Lumen fertility clinic where Dr. Maurer was in the flashback.
It's interesting how it ties in. If it plays anything into the other episodes, we'll see. If Hallie's even pregnant, we'll see.
Well,
it could just be a teaser.
I think it's very clear that that's where it's heading, just based off the intro with all the little babies and shit. The little CGI babies, and the fact that Mark and Helena have had intercourse twice now.
I would love to see them end this whole series by the end of season 3. I don't want to see it dragged on any longer than it has to be, personally. And if you want to make it anything bigger, make it into a movie and end it. That's got to be done. Because I could see this going into like a Lost direction. And I think you said it in a prior podcast, and it's just not going to go anywhere where none of our theories are going to get answered. Although I think this episode answered a lot of them. But
did it though? I mean, it answered the what happened to what's been going on with Gemma. Or
that's a big one.
Yeah, but that's not the heart of what the hell Lumen is doing.
No. Oh, you know, I think it also confirmed that Milchick didn't take him outside. Maybe that was another room. Because clearly they have a shit ton of rooms, dude. Like, they're using them for something. They got to have CGI in there. They got to have something. Irving should have froze to death.
I didn't think about that, but you have a point there. You think they were inside of Cold Harbor?
They could have been inside of Cold Harbor. They could have been inside of another room. But, I mean, Irving's got to be, what, 58? He's going to freeze to death in that kind of environment. Whether he has military training or not, he didn't have all of his tech and gear with him.
People live in cold weather all the time, right?
Yeah, but sleeping outside in the middle of Colorado in the middle of winter.
Did you hear Milchick when he said they had the heaters going?
Yeah, maybe the heaters were coming from the sides and the roof.
And it's coming from the fucking ventilation because they're inside some kind of simulation.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think episode 8 will focus on? So this entire episode was focused on the relationship between Mark and Gemma, the flashbacks, how they met, you know, how things were happy. You know, they're intellectuals working at a college, you know, they're preparing to have a baby, they lose the baby, things take that downward spiral. What do you think episode 8, what point of view are we going to see? Are we going to see a mix of the innies and outies? Are we going to see Mark on a quest to destroy Lumen? Are we going to see some of the behind the scenes stuff? Are they going to focus on the Lumen perspective? What are we going to get?
Episode 8, sweet vitriol. What does sweet vitriol mean?
It's like Venezuelan tuna, but with sweet chili.
I think the episode's going to focus on Mark healing up. He's clearly still not healthy. What we said earlier, Cobell is going to make her appearance back. And not with Lumen, it's going to be with Devin, Mark's sister. They're going to start getting their game plan going. We're not going to get too much of that. We'll probably see Rickon start to get more involved in Lumen. Maybe he'll meet Mr. Drummond for the first time. Maybe he'll meet Bert.
Maybe we'll see what Dylan's wife's been up to.
Maybe. If she's as good as we think she is, or maybe she's more sinister than we think she is. I truly believe Rickon is going to be a bad character for season 3. They're setting that up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think I said this on another podcast. He wrote the book. He wrote the, what was the book?
The story about,
the story of Adadon. He wrote that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Pusha T. But nothing more than that. Oh, last thing I think it'll touch on, who Irving is talking to on the phone. We'll get a look on that.
I think he's talking to someone at Lumen, maybe, who's a double agent there. But I guess we'll see. Maybe it's Mr. Milchick. Who knows? But as always, that's a wrap.
Hang on. No. Do you really think in your heart of hearts he's talking to Mr. Milchick?
Could be.
No, he's not talking. He's talking to... Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
So you question me with such vitriol just to say such maybe.
Vitriol. Maybe.
So that's a wrap on our breakdown of episode 7. As always, there's so much to analyze, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Drop theories, Easter egg finds down in the comments section below. If you enjoyed this deep dive, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us for more Severance content. If you have any recommendations as we come to the close of this series season that you'd like us to watch and do weekly reviews on, throw them down there. We're closing in on the final stretch, and things are only getting crazier, only getting weirder from here. Until next time, stay unsevered, unless, of course, you work for Lumen.
And stay black.
Peace.